Aoife Cox, thedailyspud.com.
Dublin City FM, Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Dublin City FM with Peter Donegan and me, Brian Green. Brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. We had no show last week. Apologies for that. More about that later on in the programme. This week, if you're a student here at the top, we are talking with Aoife Cox from dailyspud.com. But just before we go there, you'll remember in the past we did a show on Lissadell House. Well, news in from the Supreme Court, Lissadell House have won their appeal against Sligo County Council, and we're not going to deal with it on the show today, but in the show notes at sodshow.com you can get a link to the show we did about Lissadell House, and it'd be good to listen back retrospectively now that they have won their appeal at the Supreme Court. Back to today's programme and something we recorded a good while back. Peter Donegan talking with Aoife Cox of dailyspud.com.
Okay, so I'm talking to Aoife Cox of the Daily Spud. You are at Daily Spud on the Twitter sphere, if I'm correct.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is going to sound like a really silly question. What is the Daily Spud blog website all about? Is it a blog? Is it a website? It is.
It's a blog. It's a website. And it's all about potatoes.
Why? Is the simple question?
Good question. I like potatoes. No, it's not. To be fair, it's not just about potatoes, but there is a really heavy emphasis on potatoes. It started out because I wanted to do a food blog. I wanted to distinguish it as an Irish food blog, and the Daily Spud was the name I came up with because potatoes are the one food that you're going to be most associated with Ireland. So that's how it started, and through the name people started to think that it was about potatoes, so I kind of ran with it.
Okay. That kind of makes sense. How popular of a lady are you in the online sense of it, just to put in context for those listening outside of Ireland?
Well, I guess it'd be pretty popular, all right. It's won a couple of awards along the way. The Irish Blog Awards for two different years. We won the best food and drink blog, so that's pretty good.
In context, how many blog posts have you done, and over what range of a period, approx?
It's been going for about 4.5 years or so, and that's maybe like 450 posts, or thereabouts. So yeah, at the moment I'm posting usually about once a week, but once or twice a week, depending on how much I can manage.
Is it a food blog in the context of there'll be pretty photographs of things that you have cooked and how to do them, or is it potato blog in the context of here's how you do a lazy bed and here's how I grow a little bit of my own, just to differentiate?
It's a bit of both. I do recipes, so there's quite a lot of potato recipes on there. But it's not just about that. It is also about a sort of things to do with potatoes, whether that's growing them or bits of potato history or attending events like this or talking to potato experts like Dave Langford or Dermot Carey or
Peter Donegan,
of course. how could I forget that one? I mean, but that was just so obvious, really, wasn't it? But yeah, so it's all kinds of bits and pieces, and also like issues related to potatoes, like the whole like GM potatoes being grown by Chagas, that would come up. Just all sorts of bits and pieces. Like,
is there, or is it my imagination, is there a big fat bandwagon out there that you turn around and you say, well, I like genetically modified, and all of a sudden the Simpsons lynch mob comes out and burns your house to the smithereens? It's a cartoon, people, it's fictitious, it's in my head. Not really, but you get what I'm coming from. Is there an element of that out there?
It's a subject that really divides people a lot. So there are a lot of people out there who are just absolutely 100% totally against anything that's GM related, and who, with, you know, with certain justification, think that with Chagas doing GM potato trials, that that's really kind of tarnishes Ireland's green food island image. And then on the other hand, you've got other people who say, look, you know, to take more of a, you know, well, let's see what this is about and let's see if this can actually be of benefit. So that might be, you know, maybe people who are in commercial growing, and because basically the trials are aimed at trying to, you know, look at ways of combating blight or producing potatoes that, that don't need to be sprayed as much. So there are, you know, there are people who, you know, say, well, you know, maybe this can be a benefit. And so, yeah, but it does, it tends to be a very divisive subject.
On one hand, and this is, you might say I'm playing devil's advocate, but at the same token, it's also conversation. People at home, don't come doing lynch mob in my house just yet. Let's talk about it. That's for free. But on the one hand, logically, there is a point where Chagas by right are a research and education. They're not commercial growers, just to clarify that one. And on the second part of it, from a guy who came through the Chagas education horticultural system for about 4 years, the one thing that I always liked was that scientifically, in order to turn around and say that, you know, the predatory red spider mite is the best way of curing or solving or preventing red spider damage in glasshouse grown crops, they were able to, with added science, QED, solve the equation and put proof at the end of the pudding. Is it not necessary for Chagas to be able to do that research, to be able to turn around to say, see, we told you we were A, right, or B, we were wrong?
Well, I mean, absolutely. And that's exactly what Chagas will say is, well, we have to, we're scientists, and in order to be able to say whether this is going to, you know, have detrimental effects in terms of how these potatoes are grown or in terms of the soil or whatever, you know, they need to do trials. So they, that's absolutely what they say. And then there are, like, for other people who just are dead set against it, and, you know, that's their position, and they, you know, don't really want to move from it. So yeah, no, there's definitely two very distinct sides to it. But yeah, it is about the kind of scientific endeavor and trying to.
I've had, for those of you listening at home, I've had three or four interviews so far where this has come up in conversation and people have walked out of the room. It is that much of a, pardon the cliched pun, hot potato. And it is very, very much that. And people do tend to say, no, as soon as you mention or bring that in, that even those two letters into my room made out of polystyrene, I'm not going near it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to answer the question. They don't want to answer whether the research is good or bad. And I fully understand why. It's a little bit like, you know, Jack Charlton versus Eamon Dunphy. And I know people who don't like Eamon Dunphy to this day, and some people don't even know who he is, but they still don't like him. It's a little bit of that, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't quite have brought Eamon Dunphy into it, but but now that you have, yeah, no, it is. There's some people who just say, you know, GM, this is just not the way to go, and that's their position, and they're not moving from it. And there are also, you know, those who would say whether the science is good or not, or whether, I mean, one of the things that Chagas would say or would point out is, like, what they're doing, it's not, like, this is not Monsanto, this is not, like, intended for big commercialization. But at the same time, others would say, well, there's an element of perception in it as well. So regardless of the science, that if, you know, and particularly people in Europe, if they're not, you know, if they're in general against foods that have GMOs in them, well, then why develop this thing if at the end of the day people are going to turn around and say, well, I don't want to eat it because it's, you know, a genetically modified potato. So no matter, you know, regardless of the science, or no matter what it tastes like. So there's that going on as well. So it's, you know, and people just say, well, look, the science, well, not that the science doesn't matter, but because obviously it does, but but perceptions are also a play as well.
Behind all of this, you obviously don't write a blog for a means of stable income, I'm gathering.
No, I wish, but no, I do actually have to do other things to earn my living. I'm a software engineer by trade. That's what I've done for a long time, and I still do. But I also, I do freelance writing, and that's in addition to the blog. I do write some food features for the Sunday Times, and I'm also contributing editor to John and Sally McKenna's Irish Food Guide. So I have assorted things going on, but yeah.
I've got that picture of Del Boy and Rodney, and all of a sudden they put on that Batman and Robin suit. I've never met a software engineer. Anthony McGuinness, my good friend, comes to mind, who had one plant in his living room, and I think the standing joke between myself and Anthony is, listen, you look after the 3-pin plug and I look after anything else that photosynthesizes, and there's a barter situation going on there. But you're probably one of the first IT crowd people that I've ever met that has a fascination with things that photosynthetically develop on this beautiful planet.
Well, there you go. Look, it's possible. Anything's possible. But yeah, no, they're two quite distinct parts of my life. But yeah, I have to say I enjoy the food part. I enjoy more than the software part, but the software part pays the bills still. So for the moment, that'll remain the case.
Okay, I can empathize with that one fully. Just to give people a gist, let's head back to your blog. The most popular post that you have ever written off the top of your head, or one of?
A couple of years ago, I did what I called a Paddy's Day food parade. So that's basically where I got a whole lot of other people, like bloggers, to contribute different Paddy's Day recipes and put them all together. And those are pretty popular. I'm trying to even think. I don't know.
Do you never look at yourself in the mirror and go, I am wonderful. See, here's the most beautiful thing I have done.
Well, actually, one thing post that was, well, popular in terms of it got an awful lot of traffic last year was a post I had done a few years back on chocolate biscuit cake. And the reason it got so much traffic was because the royal wedding, there was a chocolate biscuit cake featured in it. So all of a sudden, all sorts of people were looking for chocolate biscuit cake. And what do you know? They found mine. So nothing to do with potatoes, but it was popular nonetheless.
I was talking with the wonderful and beautiful Cathy Burt O'Day about 2-3 weeks ago, and she gave me some. I nearly fell off my stool. Didn't know what to make of it, but then it tasted beautiful as well. Potato and chocolate cake. Have you ever tried Cathy's potato and chocolate cake?
I think I'm reasonably sure that she got the recipe for that from my blog. So I got there first, so I think I might have introduced her to it. But yeah, no, so I have made several chocolate versions of chocolate potato cake, and I can highly recommend it.
How big of a gardener are you for those listening at home? What goes with you on when you do get time to relax? I'm kind of gathering there isn't too much of that available. Are you a head to the park kind of a person, sit down on the bench and watch the gardener garden, kind of I like gardening, that kind of a gardener? Or are you, no, one must kind of double dig the ground in the back garden, break their back and come back in with everything destroyed, including the carpet and the floor?
I'm somewhere in between, probably. At the moment where I'm living, I only have a small backyard, so I'm kind of limited as to what I can grow there. But I do grow potatoes in bags, and I'll have kind of herbs in pots, and might grow like a few tomatoes, that kind of thing. I have in the past had, you know, more garden space. And yeah, I've grown like courgettes and pumpkins and peas and radishes and all kinds of different bits and pieces. I like to grow stuff. I wouldn't call myself an expert gardener by any stretch, but I like to grow things, particularly things that I can eat.
How is your gardening? And just to get this in context, I know my grandmother years ago would have grown a lemon tree from a pip in a fully walled-in garden. And when I say walled-in garden, it wasn't walled in a la one of the ye olde 17th century estates. It was just no light coming in on four sides. And all of a sudden, this lemon tree starts to appear. She had those kind of green fingers that just didn't go wrong. Are you one of those that gets it extremely wrong and then, sure, what of it, I'll go and have a pint? Or, oh, that worked out, I'll still go and have a pint. Are you one of them?
Again, I'd say I'm probably somewhere in between. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm the most green-fingered person. So I've had success with some things and other things which have just not grown for me at all. But I mean, I think that's part of gardening, and that's part of the fun of actually growing things, is that I'm always delighted when something works out and I can eat it. That's tremendous. And you know, if it doesn't work out well, then you can try again next year.
Do you have a polythene tunnel?
No, I don't. Fortunately, I don't have room for that where I am. Although in my mum's house, she does have a kind of long glass house. So if I want to actually experiment with things there, that's always an option for me.
Do you do the biodiversity thing? Do you have logs and piles? Do you have bird boxes? Do you have all of that kind of jazz?
Again, not really where I am. But if I had more space, it's probably the kind of thing that I'd probably aspire to doing things in that way. In having a generally kind of, I suppose, a generally like organic kind of approach to what I grow. I would tend not to, you know, not try to avoid, you know, major use of chemicals and all that kind of thing.
Quick fire round, the last park you were at?
The last park, probably the Botanic Gardens, because they're just up the road from where I live.
The last garden centre you were at?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Mine's a blank.
When was the last time you bought a bag of compost?
Last year, probably in Woody's DIY.
Okay. What is the best thing that you have ever grown, or that one thing that you grew and you turned around and you wanted to phone your mom and go, look, like a kind of a six-year-old, you know, look what I grew. It grew, it came into flower. Did you have one of them?
Well, do you know, when my dad was still alive, one of the greatest pleasures that I had in growing potatoes was to be able to bring them home to my dad and have him try them out, because he was a big spud man. Like he's probably, if anybody gave me my love of potatoes, it was my father. So it was always a great pleasure for me to take some of what I'd grown and bring them home. And you know, especially at the start of the summer when you're just getting the first crops out of the ground, and you know, say, you know, here you go, here's some nice buds for you to.
Do you like gardening to music? Do you have a favorite song? Is there one of those that makes you turn around and go, oh yeah, let's put on the marigolds and the Wellington boots, let's get outside?
I've never really thought about it in that way. I mean, I might in the future, now that you've suggested it, but no, I've never really thought of, you know, I don't really have a gardening song yet.
Do you subconsciously start shaking the hips to a little bit of Tom Jones or Delilah or one of them?
Possibly, maybe not necessarily when I'm gardening.
We break with the interview for this week's Song of the Week, and it is a special Song of the Week we have this week. A week and a half ago, Peter's mom, Betty Donegan, passed away. I'd like to dedicate this song to her.
To see again, the sunshine fills my head, dreams hang in the air. Gold's in the sky and in my blue eye, you know it feels unfair. There's magic everywhere. look at me standing here on my own again. I'm straight in the sunshine. No need to run and hide. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. No need to laugh or cry. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. The sun's in your eyes, the heat is in your hair. They seem to hate you because you're there. A friend, oh, I need a friend to make me happy. Not stand here on my own. Look at me standing here on my own again. I'm straight in the sunshine. No need to run and hide. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. No need to laugh or cry. It's a wonderful, wonderful life.
Back again. I used to grow plants under my bed. I used to also grow bulbs, force hyacinth bulbs, underneath the stairs in my mom's house. It was where the hot press was. I also used to get up in the middle of the night to see if it had grown anything more than it had the few hours beforehand. Do you do that with your seedlings?
First of all, I'm not even going to ask what you were growing under your bed.
Hyacinths.
Again, probably not to that extreme. I mean, I might... If I had a hot press, might, you know, put some seeds in there to germinate, kind of pumpkin seeds or something like that. But not to that degree. I mean, other than having potatoes chitting out of my hall, that's at the moment, that's probably about the extent of what I've got going on indoors plant wise.
In 2011 at St Arta's National Potato Day, I asked, I believe, Cathy Marsh what she thought chitting was, or could she explain it to those listening at home to the Sod Show? Yes, who were on air at the time, happy people of Ireland. and she explained it was just a fancy word for horticultural heads like myself. You've just used it. Are you a happy horticultural head?
Well, I must be because I've just used the word. Is that, or I'm a happy potato head? And cheating, it, you know, particularly refers to potatoes. But basically, I mean, yeah, fancy word or not, it's just, it's giving the potatoes a little bit of a head start, letting them sprout before you actually put them into the ground. That's all it's about, really.
Cathy Burt O'Day, we would both be acquainted and friends with the lovely lady that she is. One of the people that she introduced me to was David Shaw. I think that was up in Fumbolly Cafe. David would have been growing the Sharpo variety of potatoes. They were given out on trial. Did you grow some of them yourself?
I actually didn't grow any of them last year, but I those are the potatoes that I have chitting at the moment. So I do plan on growing a few different varieties of them this year, the Mira, the Axona, and Blue Danube, hopefully. So, yeah. But I have tasted them all. I was at that taste fest in the Fumbly as well. So I have had the opportunity to sample them in various shapes and forms. So looking forward to growing them myself this year.
Excellent. People of the Sod Show listening community, it's often enough we have the very horticultural, technical, super-duper growers doing 300 acres and odd, and sometimes it's just nice to bring it back down to me and you and a cup of tea and sitting outside, or inside in this case, in the fresh air. And I don't think you could meet a happier person than Aoife herself. Aoife, thank you so much for your time. The blog and website addresses and that for people who want to get in touch with you, is it, by the way?
So www.thedailyspud.com, and I'm also on Twitter at Daily Spud and Facebook Daily Spud.
Excellent stuff. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and it's back to you in the studio.
Recorded earlier this year, Aoife Cox, dailyspud.com, also available on Twitter at Daily Spud. 103.2 Dublin City FM, it is the Sod Show, and as I said at the beginning, apologies for no show last week. We are back, and we're podcasting as well. You can check us out on the web, all the back catalogue. Sodshow.com is the web address, info@sodshow.com for email, @sodshow on Twitter, and @thesodshow on the facebook.com. That's how you can get in touch with us. Coming up over the next couple of weeks, we'll be checking in with all our contributors to Simon and Ruth, Belle, Dee Sewell, Jane Powers, and a host of others who I've forgotten their names already. We'll be checking in with all our regular contributors. And if you've got any news for us, you know how to get in touch with us now. 103.2 Dublin City FM. Thanks for listening to The Sod Show. We'll be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Do check us out. Take care. Bye-bye.